Eina bolua yitze mechaticha lechaticha, veloy mikli lekli bilay reitiv. This principle means that if something is absorbed in a piece of food, it cannot transfer from one piece of food to another piece of food, nor from one container to another container, unless there's some liquid medium. The idea would be, in principle, let's say you had a bone dry piece of meat and a bone dry piece of cheese. If there's no moisture, the principle says, then although these two pieces touched one another, there's going to be no transfer of taste. And as a result, there's not going to be any kashrus issue. In a similar fashion, let's imagine that you had a milchik pot and a fleishik pot, and the milchik pot and the fleishik pot go together in the sink, or maybe you have a milchik cup and a fleishik bowl, and they go together in the sink, and let's even imagine, in principle, that they're both hot. But the claim would be that if there is absolutely no moisture, there's no moisture, then no taste transfer could occur, and therefore there would be no kashrus issue. So if you have a hot food, which is itself permitted food, but it absorbed some forbidden substance, meaning let's say that you have a piece of kosher meat and it absorbed a little bit of pork juice, kosher brisket that absorbed some pork juice. And now this piece of kosher meat, which absorbed the pork juice, it touches some other food. So imagine it touches a uncontaminated piece of kosher steak. So the pork juice that contaminated the first piece of kosher meat is not capable of transferring to the uncontaminated kosher steak and thereby forbidding the kosher steak, so long as these two pieces of meat in question are dry, they're completely dry, and there's no liquid medium between them. And even though it's the case that the hot food, let's say the hot brisket, has the ability to expel moisture and taste of its own and cause these to be absorbed in the piece of kosher steak which touches it, even without any sauce, even without any other liquid, nonetheless, it wouldn't be able to transfer its own iser in the absence of additional liquid, in the absence of sauce. And only hot sauce, only some hot liquid, would be capable of extracting the absorbed iser therein. And the same would be true if you have two containers, let's say a pot and a pan, which are touching one another. Even though they're both hot, the absorbed non-kosher substance in one cannot transfer to the other in the absence of some intervening liquid, some intervening independent sauce, even if the two hot containers independently are producing some steam of their own. And for that reason, if you have a sink and you have meat pots and milk pots which are hot and are touching one another, if there's no sauce, if there's no independent liquid between the two of them, your kalim do not become usher, your containers don't become usher, and this is a very helpful principle for kula in the kitchen. This principle of ein habalua yitze, mechaticha lechaticha, veloy mikli lekli, beli reitev, is discussed in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya Simen Kufhei, Sif Zayin, and Simen Sadi Beis, Sif Ches, there in the Rama. So now that we have the basic rule down, let's discuss some of the details and the applications. There's an important exception to this rule of Ein habalua yitze mechaticha lechaticha, veloy mikli lekli, beli reitiv, which is, let's say that the piece of meat was fatty. So going back to our original example, let's imagine that this piece of kosher brisket, which had absorbed pork juice, was not a thin piece of brisket, but was rather a fatty piece of brisket. It had nice blobs of white fat on it. So in such a case, we would say that from food to food, as in if this fatty piece of brisket touches the piece of steak, even if there is no other liquid medium, the fatty piece of brisket is still going to asher the steak. It's still going to confer its iser status onto the steak. And this is based on the rule in Simen Kofei that shemen mifapea, that shemen, that either oil or fat, is something which permeates. However, this is only true of two pieces of meat. However, let's imagine that you had fatty meat
which got absorbed into one pot, and a fatty milk that got absorbed into another pot. But now you have these two pots in the sink, and there's no substance of fat on the pots. They've just been absorbed into the pots. So although it's the case that the fat was absorbed into the pots, since there's no substance of fat present, there would be no transfer of taste in this case, unless there was some liquid medium to affect the transfer. Nonetheless, this does seem like a little bit of a strange thing. You have a hot piece of cheese and a hot piece of meat touching one another, and so long as they're completely dry, we'd say it's mutter. So for that reason, in Siman Sadi Beis, the Ramah tells us that lechatchila, all things being equal, in a best-case scenario, you should try and make sure that your hot kalim, that your hot milk pot and your hot meat pot, and that your hot meat and your hot cheese should not touch one another. So for this reason, that's why many people will keep separate countertops and separate sinks, because even though you could have this kula, it's still a little bit iffy, and it's too likely or too possible that there's going to be reitev, there's going to be sauce, there's going to be some liquid medium that's going to intervene between your meat and your cheese, or it's going to intervene between your kalim. So best to try and avoid coming in such a scenario. Thus far, we've discussed what happens when we're dealing with two pieces of food, or two kalim, two containers. But what if you have a hot piece of food touching a hot container? Imagine, let's say you have a hot piece of brisket touching a hot milchik pot. So in such a case as well, we would say that ein habalua yotzei b'li reitiv, that the brisket doesn't go into the pot unless there's some liquid medium, there's some saucy medium in between. But if the brisket was a fatty brisket, then it would in fact be absorbed into the pot, even without a liquid medium. And that's the opinion of the Taz in Siman Kufei Sifkaten Tazai. However, the Chavas Das is Mekel. But nonetheless, most Achrinim rule like the Taz. So in such a case, if you had a fatty piece of meat touching a pot and there was no liquid medium intervening, the meat's very fattiness would be enough to say that we should now make the pot usur. In contrast, however, when you're going from a container to food, when you're going from a pot to a piece of meat, and let's imagine that there was some fatty stuff absorbed in the pot, but there's no fat on the pot's surface, then what's absorbed in the pot is going to emerge, is going to contaminate the meat, even without any liquid medium. Now, if the piece of meat is dry, if the food that it touches is dry, then the belia, then the absorption, is only going to be kidei klipa. It's only going to contaminate one layer's worth of this piece of food or this piece of meat. If, however, the piece of meat is wet, if it has moisture on it, then it'll become completely contaminated.